Thank you once again for tuning into the Big God Ideas Show, where we acknowledge that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think and ask according to the power working within us. We are excited that you have joined us once again. I am one of your hosts. My name is Octavia Leslie. I am the founder of Big Girl Ideas, a stage production company here in Detroit, and I am joined by my co-host,
Sylvia Hubbard, author and founder of Motown Writers Network.
And as is customary, we begin our broadcast each week with a word from the Lord. As you know, we've been covering this whole thing called love during this month of February, and today is no different. We're going to wrap up. We have an exciting guest, but we start with a scripture that comes from Ruth chapter 3, and it is verses 7 through 15. And it reads, I'm sorry, it is the NIV version for those who want to look it up. It begins, when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another one who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into her 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. Amen. I like this passage of scripture because today we're dealing with being single and, you know, trying to be patient until God brings your mate to you. Mm-hmm. And most of us who've been in church for any measure of time, we are familiar with the story of Ruth and Boaz. And we know that Ruth, her husband died. She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, whose husband died. And so they were kind of left to their own devices. And Ruth made a decision to follow her mother-in-law back to her homeland. But they were women that were struggling. And Ruth went out of her way to provide for her mother-in-law. And so here, this passage of scripture captures the first meeting of Ruth and Boaz and how in those days, the law was set up to provide for women. And so Boaz talks about the guardian redeemer, that being someone who would step in the stead of the husband that she lost and make sure that she is taken care of. But there are 3 things that I want to point out to our listeners, especially our single female listeners, that real men do 3 things, especially men that follow God. Mm-hmm. They plan, they protect, and they provide. And in these scriptures, we see where Boaz stepped up. He had a plan for her. He told her, "You know what, you stay here for the night, and in the morning I'll go on your behalf and I'll talk to this other man and find out if he's going to step up and provide for you. But if he doesn't, I got you, girl." See, that's what real men do. Real men say, "I got you." And he said, "As sure as the Lord lives, I will do it." So he had a guarantee. So we know he was a godly man following after God's precepts. And then he says to her, "Now you lay down and you stay here, but nobody needs to know that a woman came to the threshing floor." So therefore, he's protecting her as well. And then finally, before she goes away from his presence, he makes sure that she has food for her and her mother-in-law. And so he provides for her. And so I say to our single female listeners that as you're dating and as you're thinking about that man that you hope to meet and marry, understand that God has place certain qualifications for the man that should be taking up space in your life. Mm-hmm. Be blessed and be encouraged to know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Amen. Okay, now our guest today is the one and only Kim Brooks. She is an award-winning author, a licensed minister, national speaker, and songwriter. She is a Black Expressions best-selling author of the book He's Fine, but is he saved? And its highly acclaimed sequel, He Saved, But Is He For Real? She also has a nonfiction book that is entitled The Little Black Survival Book for Single Saints. She is an abstinence marriage advocate, which is not only her speaking platform, but also her testimony, as she is still a virgin at the age of 33. Kim has been featured in Gospel Today, Jet, the Detroit News, and has appeared as a guest on the Word Network and numerous times on Totally Christian Television and Christian Television Network. Kim also publishes an e-newsletter for single men and women entitled The Single Heart, which ministers to thousands each month, and an online daily devotional exclusively for single women. With a high-energy, down-to-earth approach while uniquely blending practical wisdom with God's Word, Kim Brooks' powerful message, which brings hope and healing to the nation, is that it is possible to live an exciting, uncompromising, drama-free, purpose-driven, spirit-led, victorious life in the perfect will of God. We welcome you, Kim.
Yay,
Kim Brooks.
That's good. I'm funny. Hi, Octavia. Thanks for having me on. And hi, Sylvia.
Hey.
I'm Sylvia Hubbard. I'm like, Sylvia Hubbard. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm great.
We are so excited.
To talk to both of you.
Yes, we are so excited that you agreed to come on the show. You know, we had a brief conversation earlier this week, and, you know, I was kind of in a panic, and you got back in touch with me, and we played phone tag, and you was like, I was out of town. And, you know, I was so excited because you had a speaking engagement out of town, and it was wonderful, and I'm just glad that, you know, God took you. You were able to bless those people and come back home safe and sound. I'm just really excited about what God is doing in your ministry. Could you just expound upon... is somebody at the door? No. That's Jesus. Can you please expound upon your singles ministry? Because I think, you know, a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, you can really do this thing called being single and saved. It's not going to always be easy, but it can be done if you really put your spirit and your mind to it. So can you expound a little bit on your ministry?
Sure. God is good. Basically, it's for singles, and it's just to show that you can be single and still have a fun, exciting life that pleases God, and you can enjoy life and be abstinent and wait, as you talked about Ruth and Boaz, for all the Ruths. You can wait for your Boaz while having a great time in the Lord. Come and discover your purpose, walk in that thing. And I know you mentioned about the being abstinent piece, and that's definitely the main goal as far as God's expectation. But it's also just a part of living a drama-free, stress-free life. Finding and being found by that person that'll love you for a lifetime without, you know, them wanting to try you out beforehand. And, you know, it defines true love, being patient and kind in 1 Corinthians 13. So basically that's what the ministry God has me doing now, is to show. And I also wanted to mention my newest book is How to Date and Stay Saved, and that one kind of walks out how you can still get to know someone, and as a single, you can get to know someone, and you can also enjoy a great time while still being Christian and not feeling like you're compromising your religious beliefs mm-hmm. because you're in a relationship. So basically, in a nutshell, it's all about incorporating God into your relationships, into your life. A lot of times we put God, you know, we give God our money. We'll say, okay, we'll pay our tithes, or we'll honor God we'll honor our parents, we'll do the Ten Commandments. But then when it comes to our relations, we're kind of like shooting up prayers like, okay, send them, Lord. And then, you know, when God sends someone, or sometimes God doesn't always send them, sometimes it's the enemy. But then we don't pray about the relationship. We don't pray through the relationship. So that's basically what God has me sharing about, incorporating God in our whole lives every day, you know, more than just on Sunday. And so, as you mentioned, I got back from ministering in Colorado at a singles conference. It was a wonderful time in the Lord. We did a How to Date and Stay Safe workshop, and we also talked about what to do while you're waiting to be found. So it was a great time. We had a comedian there. They were teaching, like, gospel. I always say holy hustle. I guess sometimes it's gospel step two. I guess different names for it. But we had a great, great time. So that's it in a nutshell.
So So, Kim, what two tips could you possibly give our listeners that they're out there in a relationship and they want to pursue a relationship, but what tips can you give them on going out dating and, you know, keeping from going over that line where it leads okay. to a sexual relationship?
Okay, I could definitely share. I do have one of the chapters is 5 ways to tame the beast known as the flesh. I can share maybe some of those. One of the things I want to mention, though, is a lot of times when we get in relationships, we forget that. I always say, remember that you're brothers and sisters in Christ first before you're anybody's husband or wife, and to treat each other accordingly. And I also talk about setting boundaries before you get deeply into the dating process, where you kind of know yourself and you know what, like you talked about that line, you set the expectation up front. You let the person know that you're absent up front. And I've talked to women who said they never did that because they didn't want to scare the guy away. Mm. Well, my thing is this. To me, it's a weeder. It lets you know who's serious about wanting to get to know you and dating you for the purpose of marriage, and those who just want to see if they can sleep with you, who can conquer you. So it's right. kind of like it's a way to weed it out. Set the boundaries. Pursue friendship before romance. Date to encourage dialogue. When I think of dating, I think of data, collecting data. Dating in public, you know, doing lunch, brunch. You can go amusement parks, taking the nieces, nephews, the kids out. And dating in public places, not dating at home so much, you know, because a lot of times, I don't care if you've been saved 2 minutes or 25 years, if you got two people that are attracted to each other, that love God, on top of that, that alone creates a chemistry. So mm-hmm. you don't want to give any opportunity. The Word of God says, give no place to the devil. Well, in the Amplified, that means give no opportunity for the enemy to have his way. So you don't, basically, you just don't want to set the stage. You don't want to be set up right. for something that you may regret the next day. And we thank God for the grace of God that if we miss it, you know, if we sincerely go to him, he will forgive us. Uh-huh. But a lot of times, I believe that nothing just happens.
Right.
I believe that there were things that happened before that could have prevented what went down from going down. Like that song said, you don't want to end up singing, I wish we never right. did it. You know, you don't want
right.
to.
Right. So what?
you want to stay saved and you want to do it God's way, and it's possible.
So where can people find more information about you?
Well, they can get more tips, more information, and sign up for my free devotionals and hear about my books on KimOnTheWeb.com. www.KimOnTheWeb.com.
Okay. We're about to wrap up. I thank you so much, Kim, for coming on and just even in those brief few seconds, you have given our listeners something that they can certainly chew on. Do you have any upcoming events?
Well, what I can think of off the top of my head, in April, I'm going to be leading a workshop. It's going to be a lot of speakers there. Sylvia, are you speaking?
Yes, I'll be speaking.
It's
going to be April 15th Anointed Pen mm-hmm. Writers Conference. So for all your listeners who have been thinking about writing a book or have written a book and you want some more tips about either marketing it, getting it published, I'm going to be doing a workshop on putting on events, things like that to promote your book. It's April 15th that weekend. You can Google Anointed Pen 2011 for more information. I believe it'll be held at... is it at Greater Grace?
Greater Grace, Greater Grace on 7 Mile in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's at Greater Grace in 7 Mile in Detroit, and it's that whole weekend, and I'm excited because she's actually incorporated on Friday night. It's going to be a praise party, and then on Saturday it's going to be all-day workshops. So definitely look that up online, Anointed Pen 2011, and that's coming up in April. And that's all I can think of at the top of my head right now. There's something mm-hmm. in March I'm doing at the Charles H. Wright Museum for Marriage Day. I'm mm-hmm. going to be ministering to the singles there, but I'm going to put all my information on. It's going to be updated on the website soon, so check me out there as well, KimOnTheWeb.com.
Okay, and we will definitely, as we go forward with future broadcasts, we will be sure to remind our listening audience of those upcoming events so they can come out and support you, and certainly so that they can pick up some of your books. I have a couple of them, and I can attest to your writing ability and your anointing. It comes through in those books, girl. I love your books. So I will yes, ma'am. It is nothing but the grace of God that has allowed me to cross your path and really watch your ministry as it has continued to grow. So we're definitely praying that God's grace will continue to be upon you, his anointing, that he's going to continue to open doors for you. And like I said, we're going to support and promote you on this broadcast. I want to let our listening audience also know that there are a couple of stage plays that are forthcoming. On March the 5th, the Vagina Monologues is being presented by Sean P. Williams Entertainment. Tickets are $20 and $25. You can contact him at 313-433-8384, and it's going to be at Wayne State's Community Arts Auditorium. Also at Wayne State is going to be Enemy in My House. That is a gospel stage play put on by Burst Productions. And if you missed it last year, baby, don't miss it this year. This girl, Kenyatta Burst, who is the founder of Burst Productions, has put together a excellent stage production. And I don't just say it because I'm part of her production team. I say it because it is the truth. God has anointed this baby's hands, and she is doing something in the earth. So make sure you check her out March the 1st through the 12th. And to get tickets, her number is 313-923-6742. We thank you once again for tuning in. We consider ourselves blessed that we have people out there supporting us and praying for us, and that this ministry shall continue to go forth. And we hope that the word that you've heard, both from the word of God as well as our guests, is seed that you can sow into your heart. And always remember that you are God's wealth in the earth. Be blessed.